Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. We are back for episode 55-0 of Idiots on a Mic. Rod could not be here today. However, I am pulling on a good guest, good friend of mine. She is probably the biggest whiz in the social media game, if I had to guess. Taught me everything I know to this point. Someone who is going to give us a great conversation. We're going to have a lot of laughs today. We've got some trivia for her. We've got some questions about meth-addicted fish and what they might be up to and what catching a meth-addicted fish would be like. We're also going to talk about robots. If robots were conscious, how the hell would we even know? But without further ado, let me bring on my dear friend, Kit. Hello, Kit. How are you doing today?
What's happening?
This is long overdue. So you've been kind of behind the scenes with us, helping with some of the social media, giving us concepts and things like that. So glad we could finally get you on.
And
have some discussion.
It's a shame that more people are not privy to the shit we talk about. I mean, it's a shame. So this is good.
Yeah. Well, you know, I figured this is how this whole thing started in the first place. Nick and I were sitting down in a room together, and we're like, we say a lot of dumb shit. Let's put that on the internet, because that seems to be what people like these days, is dumb shit. And it came from that. And then from our work conversations, we worked together. And it's kind of one of those things. I was like, you know what? I think she fits in. I'm not going to call you an idiot on a mic, because I don't want to do that to you. But here you are.
Kathy, did you see her? Such a mother.
So
it is on, Kathy.
Whereas I use this as a therapeutic outlet, my parents also decide that this would be a great time to publicly roast me. So from time to time, they will chime in with really nice things to say about myself or Rod, typically, and dependent on the guests that we have on. So be prepared for that.
That's exciting. I didn't know that your mom was or could be as punchy as your dad. So this is exciting. I'm really looking forward to the wedding even more so now.
Yes, that is coming up just in a few months now. We've still got some final touches to put on it. When I say we, I mean Megan, because she's way better at all this than I am.
You don't have an opinion on the flowers and the, you know, the table arrangements.
Three things. The food, the beer, and the desserts. Like anything consumption related.
That's three things.
That's what I said. I said two originally. I said three. Thanks for coming on the show. That'll be all for you today.
Hey. So,
yeah. Shortest episode we've ever had.
You're out.
So just to touch base, we were supposed to do the marathon episode over the weekend. Something came up. Yes. We're still in the process of rescheduling that. So as soon as we know when that date is going to be, we'll let the public know when that date is going to be. Haven't confirmed anything yet. Still got to get everybody kind of into one collective mind and figure out what date we can do for that. I'm still excited, though, and part of what I want to do for today before we actually get into some of our articles is I tried to base some of my trivia off of every particular person.
Okay.
And I kind of want to pull from some of the trivia that I was going to utilize for you as I'm kind of scrolling through my phone here. Now, you said you're a movie person.
Yes. Unfortunately, since having kids, there's a large portion of those in my life right now that are animated, and I'm not exactly excited about that, but yes.
See, I'm just the opposite. I love animated movies. I'm a sucker for an animated movie. Now, there's borderline ones. Rod and I, one episode we did is we picked a movie.
Yeah.
And just based on the movie title and the poster for the movie, we tried to guess the plot, and it was an animated movie called Spy Cat. And let me tell you, it was the most dog shit movie I've ever seen. And it was like, it was, I did not anticipate it being so heavily geared towards younger, like younger kids. I mean, Pixar does such a great job with appealing to people of all ages. Like you.
Sure. There's a lot of double entendres, a lot of hidden jokes, and a lot of smart comedy, even regardless of age. Yeah.
Especially the older movies, because they could put that stuff in there a little bit easier, I would say.
And sure.
I don't know if it was like, as a younger age, we were more ignorant back then than we may be now, to where it's like, if someone slipped those jokes in, even a 10-year-old would probably like, okay.
That was a sex joke. Yeah. I know what's going on.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe that's the case, and it doesn't seem like it is. It is as aggressive as it used to be. Ooh. I mean, you go back and you watch like Bug's Life or Toy Story or anything like that, and you catch on to some of those jokes and you're like, oh. Mm-hmm. Oh, you sly dog, Pixar.
Yeah.
So
they have to, otherwise parents would never continue to go to these goddamn movies.
And that's exactly it. And they're like, well, we know the kids audience. Are our target audience. However, they got to get there somehow.
Exactly. Somebody's got to take them there, and somebody's got to buy the ticket and all the shit that you have to buy when you go to the theater.
Yeah.
Exactly. By the way, I told my son was like, Mom, can I watch you on this podcast? I'm like, I don't know. There's probably going to be swearing. And then I'm like, I don't know if Matt swears that much, but I'm like, but I do. So I don't know that I want you to watch this.
So it's so funny because I have like relatives or, you know, family members, friends and everything like that, who are a little more straight laced, and every now and then they'll comment in and they're like, oh, I love the stuff that you're doing. I'm like, really? Like I said some shit on this episode that I just don't think you would approve of. But hey, I'm glad you like it. Hit the like button, share it and all that stuff. But
yeah, that's awesome.
Sometimes I kind of cringe and I'm like, well, this is who I am. So we might as well just
well, just be you know what I'm going to bring. So, I mean, yeah. You didn't censor me beforehand, so you're going to get what you're going to get.
No. So for part of my trivia for you, I have a few movie quotes.
Okay.
I'm going to read the quote off to you.
Okay.
And you have to put it to the movie.
Okay.
Okay. Quote number one. I'm going to try to do this as enthusiastically as they did in the movie.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Ma!
Stop! I
Can
got
we get
it.
Some meatloaf?
No, Wedding Crashers. This is me. It's Will Ferrell. The meatloaf. What do back there?
I never know what she's doing.
Oh, wow. Come on!
I knew. Like, I wanted to appeal to some Will Ferrell movies, yes. Because.
I'm a stalker for Will Ferrell movies. Oh my gosh.
Mentioned you were so into Will Ferrell movies.
Yes.
All right. This one is not going to be as easy to get, I don't think.
Okay.
Yeah, I called her up. She gave me a bunch of crap about not listening to her or something. I don't know. I wasn't really paying attention.
Oh my God. I know this.
It's a buddy movie. It's a duo buddy movie.
Oh, I cannot think of the name of this. I know exactly what. Is it I Love You, Man? No, it's
no,
not.
No, that's a good guess, though.
That's a good movie. Guess, yeah. I'm out. I don't think I got it. Ouch.
That is Dumb and Dumber.
Right up my alley. I love it. Yeah. I'm disappointed in myself.
I didn't want to get too carried away with the, you know, just when I think you couldn't do anything dumber and then you do something like this and totally redeem yourself.
I love that movie. This is a great. Did you see that there are a couple of guys who recreated that ride on a scooter?
Yes. On a scooter. I don't
like the frozen snot. Like, I wonder if they have.
Man, just do it. And then he stands up and he's frozen to his back.
I know. Oh.
I don't think there's anything better than like a buddy comedy.
True. So you must have liked Thor, the standalone one where he was much more, it was much more of a bro flick.
Ragnarok.
Yeah.
The third
that
one.
Was funny. That was really funny. And a bit of a departure from the rest of the Marvel series.
Yeah, and that was a lot of the gripe that people had about that movie is, yes, it was very comedic. Yes, it, in terms of the movie as a whole, great movie. In terms of what it did for the Marvel Universe.
Who cares? It's funny.
I know.
I mean, it's a whole series about comic book characters. I mean, how serious are you supposed to take it? Come on.
Well,
you know.
Well, herein lies the culture that we're in now, is if you don't follow something to a T, you will get roasted on the internet in some way, shape, or form.
And clearly your co-host behind you is upset about it, so I'll back off.
Yeah, the Hellhounds typically do make an appearance. They're quiet now, so this is fantastic for me. Cannot promise it will stay that way. All right. Okay. I got another one for you in terms of dumb movies. This should be fantastic. I can't. Let me get into character here.
I think that's your mom's favorite part. She wanted you to repeat the last one.
Oh, the something about not listening.
Maybe there was some marital advice in there.
So her. This is subliminal marital advice from my mother on a live stream at 7:14 p.m. on a so she's also a Will Ferrell fan, and her impression of Will Ferrell is just going idiot. I think that's what she was going for.
Hillbilly.
My boy, Blue.
All of them. Okay. They're so good. Okay, sorry.
Right.
Next quote.
My third one for you. What is this? A school for ants? This building has to be at least 3 times bigger than this.
I don't know what it is, but I want to hear you read it again.
Was that terrible or was it good? I don't know.
Ants, oh my god. I feel like it's gotta be Paul Rudd is this voice that I'm getting, but no, I don't know it. All right, give. What is that one? No, that do it again. No, do it again. Do it again.
Okay. What is this? A school for ants? This building has to be at least 3 times bigger than this.
Oh my god.
He makes
this
face all the time. You don't know?
No.
It's a Ben Stiller movie.
Ben Stiller, that's what I'm going for. Is it oh my god. The fashion one? The fashion one.
Yes.
Yes.
Zoolander.
Yes. I'm sorry. I immediately went to like the one where he meets the dad. I forget the name of it, but sorry. Yes, that was good. And that pinch face is what makes it.
That's the blue steel right there.
That's right. Although he makes a little bit of that face in Dodgeball. He has a little bit of that hint of that character in Die with the coiffed hair and the, you know.
Yeah, I read it in a book.
Yes. You know who else is really funny in that is Jason Bateman. He's a complete and utter idiot in that movie. Oh, he's like a commentator during the match. And he's just,
oh, I know.
Right. At the last, very, very last match, Vince Vaughn's wearing a blindfold, and Jason Bateman's like, yeah, it's gonna make it hard for him to see.
Bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off.
So good. I would watch Jason Bateman in anything. I particularly loved him in Paul, the alien movie, where Seth.
I don't think I ever actually watched it. Yeah, Seth Rogen, right?
Yes.
I know.
It is. It's going to be one of those repeatable. You're going to end up, once you see it, you're going to watch it every time you can. It's every time you catch it. It's hysterical. Yeah.
So while we're on the subject, if in terms of comedic actors, mm-hmm. who's at the top of Will Ferrell, I'm guessing.
I mean, probably. Clearly. Yeah. Will Ferrell. I think Paul Rudd's up there. Oh gosh. That's a toughie. There's so many. I mean, I love the humor of Robert Downey Jr. that he brings to Iron Man, that like suave, snarky. I love that. That's fantastic.
See, this is going to be hard for
Vince
me because
Vaughn. I'm a big Vince Vaughn fan too. He's so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so too. Like he's done some weird, the internship with him and Owen Wilson, where they're Google interns.
Yes.
Was a fantastic movie.
Yeah. That's really good.
A top tier comedy movie.
Yeah. Yeah. The both of the Wilson brothers have a knack for this. I was really interested to see Owen Wilson in the new Loki series. And I like what he's doing in that. Honestly, it's believable. I dig it.
And they almost made it seem like a buddy cop series
at
first. And I was kind of enjoying that. And then, I mean, they separated from that, which was great because of what they did. I've got 20 minutes left on the last episode, which this is finally a series that I've gotten Rod to watch.
Yeah.
In time to actually discuss it a little bit. Okay. Boy, is that a project, I tell you what. I'm like, you got to watch this, man.
Is he just not into it? Or, I mean, because I would think that would preclude him from the show entirely.
Well,
sorry, Rob, you're not here.
Yeah, yeah. It's actually going to be a slew of co-hosts that I'm going to have from now on, and then we'll just nix Rod for the entire project. And now he tends to watch shows that have already been out for a while, so he can binge seasons at a time.
I think I experienced a little bit of that during the pandemic. Kind of like anybody who wasn't already doing that is like, oh, this might be the way to go. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, after Tiger King, you won't be doing that.
And speaking of Tiger King, we kicked off an entire pandemic with Tiger King coming out. And weirdly, that set the precedence for Netflix.
Yeah.
For the foreseeable future in terms of what they were trying to accomplish. And it's like, oh, okay. So Joe Exotic is the formula that you guys want to follow. He's the trendsetter.
That's what's going to bring the country together, is this crazy motherfucker. I was like, oh, okay. You know what? I can talk to everybody about this. Yes, I got it.
And that's exactly what
happened. And everybody's takeaway was, she did it. She killed her husband. Yeah. I mean, all the other crazy stuff in that show. And everybody's like, oh, she totally killed her husband. That's it?
The trainer with the arm lopped off. There was like a whole entire building burned down and everything like that.
It's like, she totally killed her. That and the TikTok video, like redoing the Megan Thee Stallion song with, did you ever see that one? It was instead of... it'll take me a second, but it's like, it's a Tiger King version of I'm Savage. So it's like,
yeah.
He's like, fed him to the tiger. She snacked him. It goes to the whole thing. And that was fantastic. Fantastic. I loved it.
TikTok is a lawless land from my brief experience with it so far at this point. I'm still navigating what TikTok is actually all about. I have no idea. I don't know how people put videos together like they do, because I'm just like astounded.
Yeah.
Like I can't figure out how to put one transition on the fucking thing. And here you guys are, like, all these elaborate videos. Are people just not doing anything these days? Is this what people are spending hours on right now?
Maybe. I mean, not that many people are working it, it would seem. So maybe. Maybe. I don't know.
Apparently, it's the game to get into.
Apparently. Yeah. Yeah.
You can be famous. I don't know about rich and famous, but you can be famous from TikTok. That's for damn sure.
Sure. Now, did you finally watch Netflix a lot before the pandemic? Because I kind of felt like, aside from shows, there was always just junk on there, like C-level movies that just, now it's a different story, but before that, it just wasn't happening.
Yeah, so I think the best thing that ever happened was Warner Brothers pairing with HBO Max. Mm. So now I think they are the standard for streaming services. You look at what they're doing, like every month or, you know, twice a month, they're dropping brand new movies.
Yeah.
You know, for direct. 30 days. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yep.
And who wouldn't rather have that to the movie theater experience? Sure, you can get movie theater popcorn. You can mimic that at home. Sure. You don't get the big icy. You can go down to a 7-Eleven and get that. And for $20 less than what they're going to charge you. Anyway. Yeah.
And not have to take a mortgage out. Go to the theater.
Yeah. They're just like hand up to the elbow, or you want the whole arm for this movie? I just want to see what Marvel's doing next. That's all I want to do.
Yeah, I know. So do you get into any of the darker superhero shows?
Yes. So
tell me some of your favorites.
So there is The Boys on Amazon.
Yes! I love it. It's awful. I want to meet that guy and I want him to call me the C word. It's just the greatest thing ever.
So people are petitioning for him to be Wolverine, and I don't see a replacement for Hugh Jackman, but if there's gonna be one, what's his name? Urban something.
I'll Google it. What is it? I don't know. He's fantastic though. I love him. He's been in a lot of other stuff before that, but that he has nailed it. I cannot wait for the next season.
I can't either. And it's incredible. Like, so one theory that we brought up before on the show is that all these superhero movies or TV shows that are coming to Amazon, they're all painting Superman to a degree in a negative light. Cause you look at Homelander. I mean, he's Superman. You look at Omni-Man with Invincible, if you happen to catch that at all. That's an animated series, but it's the animated version of The Boys.
Okay, I'm making a note, man.
It is incredibly gory. There's a lot of twists and turns in it.
Okay.
And
what was it called again?
So it's called Invincible.
Invincible. All right, take a note. Sorry.
And it's
first you give me homework and then I got to take notes during it's like, Jesus, I'm homework school
that
again.
You didn't do.
Well, that's true.
These articles are going to be just as much of a surprise to you as they will be to the fans.
It's okay. If we even get to them, I mean, do we even need us? Come on. I mean, we haven't even gotten to the questions that I have for you. So.
So this is the first time that someone would. You have a list.
Who prepares for their podcast? Oh, yeah.
So it's funny that you say that because when guests come on with notes, Rod and I are just like, fuck yeah, we should probably take notes for this one day. Might be a good idea. We just kind of fly by the seat of our pants and see what happens. And we've got topics to hit. We hit those topics and that's all we're concerned with.
It's fine. It's all good. Well, I did want to ask you, though, because you had kind of touched on one of them. You were talking about Batman and the whole boys. And I agree that character of what's his name? He is very much being styled after like Superman or whatever. But like there's been so many Batman actors over the years, and being such a superhero fanatic. Do you have an opinion on your favorite one? What do you think is the best actor to have ever played Batman?
Well, first and foremost, the character of Batman is a stooge. I just think there's so many like him, and that's not to say that there aren't like similar to Superman or anything like that, but in terms of characters like Batman, like Green Arrow, maybe not as good of a detective, but still no abilities and is an incredible hero. Iron Man, things like that. Yeah. However, my Batman is Christian Bale.
Yeah. My Batman is
absolutely Christian Bale. And that's kind of tough for me because the technology was here when Christian Bale was Batman.
Yeah.
And so I think they were able to produce better movies. However, I think he just portrayed the character very, very, very well. Just even keeled, like, monotone, but also very arrogant to a sense. Like, there's like Tony Stark Iron Man arrogance and billionaire and all this stuff. And then there's Batman arrogance and everything. Yeah. And they're two totally different tones. And I think he captured that really well. I'll tell you right now, who isn't my Batman? Fucking Ben Affleck is not my Batman.
Yes, thank
Robert Pattinson will not be my Batman.
I know, he's like too skinny or something. Like, it doesn't, like, you're still the geeky kid from the vampire from the whole Twilight series, for Christ's sake.
I know. I
agree. I'm not a fan. Not a fan. Although I did like Michael Keaton because he was like a little dorky and so like an unlikely cast, but I think it totally worked. I mean, those movies, old as they were still pretty enjoyable.
George Clooney, also not my Batman.
True.
How many iterations?
He wasn't even on my list. He wasn't even on my list. Like, Adam West made my list.
So the guy who voices Batman in the cartoons makes it before.
It's a real show. I don't want to do it. Come on.
I don't know.
A real person.
What I don't understand is, for whatever reason, the year that George Clooney was Batman, they decided to put nipples on the suit. I don't understand what the thought process was behind that at all.
They don't even make sense on men in real life. Why would you purposely put them on that? What a terrible idea.
We want to emphasize that although he wears a cape and everything, he is a human being. But nipples on his suit. Yeah. Yeah. Jeepers, Batman, is it cold in here?
Yes, it is. Yes. All the way through my Kevlar. Yeah.
We are facing Mr. Freeze, so. Awesome. Christian Bale, without a doubt, I think the bad guys, and it is such a shame that Heath Ledger passed away.
Oh, he was incredible as the Joker. Incredible.
And that was the thing too, is they were explaining, like, he basically like put himself.
Did you see what your mother wrote? Kathy. I'm not saying I didn't think it, but Kathy.
Hi, do you have a moment to talk about our friends and saviors over at CBD Brothers USA? Oh, you do? Well, let's talk about it. They provide a 100% hemp all-natural product for you as an alternative to some of those harmful pharmaceuticals or over-the-counter, whether it's anti-inflammatories or things such as that, you know, Tylenol, Advil, Aleve. What those are going to do is, over time, they're going to cause liver and kidney damage. You know what's not going to do that? Products from CBD Brothers USA. You guessed it. All natural CBD products, whether it's inflammation that you're having issues with, even if it's sleep. We've got something for sleep. Get a little melatonin in it. Night, night. See you later. If you've got a dog or a pet that's at home anxious, a couple droplets there in their water or in their food, good to go. Calm as a southern storm. That's not calm, but you get it. Doesn't have the same psychoactive effects as THC. It's a THC-free product. And you're going to get all of those benefits that we just discussed for a low price. Because guess what? We got a promotion code for you. Go to cbdbrothersusa.com and use the code IDIOTSONMIC, all one word, for 25% off and free shipping. Again, that's code IDIOTSONMIC for cbdbrothersusa.com. Cheers.
So that is the whole reason that Robin wears bright colors, is so that people shoot at him and not Batman. So maybe in addition to that, they were like, you know what would make him stick out even more?
Yeah. Give him some nips. Yep. That's yeah. And put his underwear on outside of his pants. Yep. He's going to be a target.
Yeah. On the outside of his pants. Yeah. Well, Superman does it. Bulletproof. So
I love it. I love it. Superman does. Well, I have to say, just for the whole genre, I do really enjoy some of the lesser known. I just don't usually have somebody to talk to about this stuff, because in my circle, I'm like the only one who likes this stuff. But I do like The Boys and, you know, some of the darker ones. Now, there's a whole did you see the most recent iteration of The Watchmen?
On HBO?
Yes. That was really good. With
I have not.
You haven't?
Oh, no, yeah. and that's tough.
With Regina King, it's pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty good, and I like it that it kind of ties. It's a lesser known series for sure, right? That whole string, but I don't know. I really dig it. There's a lot to it. There's a lot of history, and they've only kind of scratched the surface. Jean Smart in that series is a riot. Like, I love her in everything she does. I just watched her past for a Vegas comic, and oh my gosh, so good and all this stuff. Anyway, I would definitely suggest that. And then I also watched, Lovecraft? That was, and I really dug that. That's a whole separate like subgenre of horror and based in like the 60s. Yeah, that's really good. I would highly recommend that if you haven't read, haven't watched that. Lovecraft Country is what it was.
Lovecraft Country. And yeah. Netflix just did a Jupiter's Legacy or something like that. That's supposed to be like a watered down Boys, I guess.
Oh, really?
Couldn't invest in it. It's Josh Duhamel is like the main guy.
Okay.
It looked cheesy to me. I didn't invest in it yet. That'll be something that'll be on the back burner, I'm sure. Brightburn is a fantastic suggestion, that's actually a movie, and it's more or less if Superman grew up to be evil. So he discovers his powers as a kid. He realizes that he can't be stopped, and then he just slaughters people.
I don't hate that. Did you ever get into that? Oh, sorry. We got another guest. Mm-hmm. Guest. No, now you don't. Just put your face in here. It bodes well for that. This is CJ. He's my 9-year-old.
Hello, CJ.
He is very much into the Loki. We're watching Loki, and we watched WandaVision, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we're very much into
both
the
fantastic
whole
fantastic series.
Oh, yeah. All good so far. And Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Excellent.
He's my kiddo with that. Yeah. So he's very curious about all of this. So, yeah. That's anyway, but he's gone. But, yeah. So that just happened. Yeah. That's my fun. He's my guy. But there was another one. The Umbrella Academy. Tell me you've watched that.
Yes.
Yes.
I did. I watched. I'm not complete. I'm not done with season 2. And it's hard because I enjoy the premise, but the special effects and everything are quite bad.
I don't feel that way. I really liked I loved Klaus. I'm like, really, whatever this guy and whatever character, whatever shape that guy's character takes, I'm in. He is nuts. And I live for it. I want all of it. He's crazy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. I do like that. Yeah. And then
I enjoyed it. It's such a different aspect on superheroes and things like that. And
that's why I
love The Boys so much, is it's like, okay, what if this was real life and they were militarized and monetized and marketed and all that stuff? And you're like, you know, that's exactly what it would be in today's day and age. Like,
Absolutely. Yeah. It is not, it's not a leap at all. Like, oh yeah. Yeah. Like I could work in their marketing department. Yeah. I could see that happening.
Yeah. But not their PR department. I don't want any part of their PR department.
I think they go through people like a lot.
Yeah. It's just, it's one of those shows that is, you just have to cringe when you're getting through. Like there are parts that you have to get through.
You feel that
in
way?
The Boys? Like, yeah.
Oh, in the Boys? Oh, I thought you were going back to Umbrella Academy. I mean, some of it's gory. I mean, but I don't care. I like it. I don't know. I love that series. And I turned my husband onto it. I'm like, you have got to go back and watch this with me because I am in it for the long haul. And he was like, oh, wow. That just happened.
So, and that's cool too, because like, there's a lot of speculation going around in the Boys and what's going to happen next and everything. And Invincible is very much the same way. Like the entire first season, and they already have the first season out there, about hour long episodes. And there's only like, I want to say 7 or 8 episodes maybe.
Yeah.
And it's very well done. Like I said, it's super gory, like heads exploding and stuff like that.
Nice.
But there's a lot of speculation built up around it. All right, what's happening? Why is this happening? And all while they're progressing this character who is the son of a superhero, just discovered his powers, and now he's kind of becoming a superhero of his own. And it's a good series. You'll enjoy it. If you enjoyed The Boys, you will enjoy Invincible.
I dig it. I'm liking it.
And that's actually a Papa Steel suggestion.
I saw that. I'm seeing the comments here. I noticed I've got my mom in Phoenix is watching. Hi, Betsy. And then my sister-in-law Lee's up there.
Yeah.
So you got people all over the place.
I guess you do. That's kind of nice. We got like 10 people that listen. You're on the way to like doubling our fan base here.
I increased your fan base by 20% on this podcast alone. And those are just the people that are commenting. Who knows how many more are watching? I'm just saying.
I'm
on my second glass of wine, by the way.
Oh, perfect. I'm on my third beer, which, by the way, we got the lattes as always.
Have you tried the Corona premiums?
I have not.
Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt. You got your summer shandy there?
No. This is a German style lager from Leinekugel. So
I'm used to seeing their summer shandies this time of year.
Yeah. Oh, big on the summer shandies, but you know, it's wedding season. Little less calories in this than a shandy.
I see.
Decisions have to be made this time of year. So,
well, I just saw the Corona premiums, and they seem to be like a fancier version of like Michelob Ultra or something like that. So it's Corona, but it's lighter. But apparently, it's pretty good. It's all the rage at the last pool party I went to.
So Rod obviously could not be on the show, chimed in just a minute ago. Invincible is the Into the Spider-Verse, another fantastic animated movie, equivalent of a TV series. Only if everybody in Into the Spider-Verse got slaughtered at one point or another, then yes, that would be the same equivalent. But in terms of, I believe, and let me speak for him because it'll make more sense if I say it as opposed to him saying it anyways. the color palettes, what they did with the coloring and everything, like Into the Spider-Verse was incredible, even just visually.
Yeah, I agree. I think that was a fun take, I think.
And so Invincible was very similar in that sense. It's just very visually appealing as well in terms of what they did with the colors and everything like that, which sounds like, I'm not a movie TV snob, but if something really grabs my attention visually, like that's why I love the animated movie so much, is because they can do so much more with the color in the animated movies. Yeah. It is why I think I just invest in them so much easier. But yeah. So while we're on this and while we're on Amazon series, I wanted to pose this theory to you.
Mm-hmm.
So you like the comics and things like that. So they're painting Superman in a negative light, gotcha, with Homelander, with Omni-Man in Invincible. There's a theory going around that Jeff Bezos may in fact be Lex Luthor. Both bald, rich, sciencey, technology, R&D types. Now, here's the real question is, who is our everyday Superman that he's actually trying to oppose? That's what we really need to get down to when it comes to it.
I mean, could it be one of the trifecta? Could it be Richard Branson? I mean, he's a fucking likable guy. I mean, but does he do enough good stuff? I don't know. Of the three of them, he's probably the most likable, right?
Let's say it's Elon Musk, and because he's from a different planet, and maybe he just instead of Rod. Rod is our everyday Superman. Papa Steel, absolutely not is Rod our everyday Superman. I've seen this man get winded from walking down the stairs.
Ouch.
I will pay for that in a later episode, I'm sure.
Who is our everyday Superman, though?
I'm thinking it's got to be The Rock.
Oh, I like that. Because he's such a likable dude, you know, and he does good stuff. And
the way he throws around weight, he might just be superhuman. So
maybe. I don't know that he's on the roids. It could be just that he's just fantastic. I'm a big fan of his. I like that. Let me see. Who else could it possibly be? I don't know, man.
I mean, could it be Henry Cavill, who they cast to play Superman? Wouldn't that be kind of wild?
That would be kind of wild. I don't know, he's still under the radar, though. You meet somebody who's like on the front. He's like a playboy, right?
Does Clark Kent not want to just blend in with the crowd and be a journalist and do all that stuff?
Yeah, I don't know. It's George Clooney. Yeah. It's George Clooney. That's why he made such a bad Batman, because really he's Superman.
He made such a bad Batman because he was like, why does Batman get all of this press? Like, clearly I am the superior hero here.
Maybe it's like Jimmy Kimmel or some shit, you know, like... James Corden, James Colbert. That would be fantastic. He's got the glasses.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. 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 That's he's a viable candidate. I think he's got, yeah, he's a viable candidate. And he's kind of in like the entertainment, like news. I mean, not news, but you know, if it's new, I don't know. I don't want to talk about news. But if it's got to be one of those guys, if it's got to be like some evening news anchor, we're screwed. That's not going to bode well for anybody.
It's Conan. It's Conan
O'Brien. Yes, that I'm on board with. Yes, I can see the memes already with the hair, the big red bouffant. Now that one I can be on board with. Yeah, like me. I was Team Conan. Back in the day.
Oh, you Team Coco? Coco back in the day? I can't stand him. I don't know what it is. I just don't like Conan O'Brien.
I don't watch him.
I think his shtick is too over the top.
Yeah, maybe. I liked him as in like past tense, but I haven't seen him. I haven't watched his stuff in years, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not it. I think it's got to be one of the nighttime host guys or The Rock. The Rock, I think, is a viable candidate. Yeah.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
And it's definitely not Rod. I don't know what Papa Steve has been. I think it's Rod. Smoking the funny grass or something. I don't know. So let's let's do part of what we came here to do. Above me, I have the article pulled up for.
Let's do this.
The meth head fish. So, if you will,
this is very exciting. Okay, all right.
So, what's happening in the Czech Republic?
Okay.
Are the ones reporting this? Is that people who are using meth,
mm-hmm.
when they use the restroom or whatever, and it's still, so it excretes into the water through mm-hmm. through the pipes, through the system and everything.
Yep.
Well,
yep.
They're not equipped to filter this water out. So this is going into streams and rivers. Ooh. And all this nearby gotcha. Bodies of water. And come to find out, these fish are now addicted to meth. These Czech Republic fish, and I don't know in particular what fish they were catching.
This is crazy.
So the fish are experiencing withdrawal symptoms. They're catching these fish. They've got them in tanks, and they're experiencing withdrawal symptoms. I'm just curious. That's what they don't really indicate here.
Are they losing some of their teeth?
They were less. The barracudas are missing teeth now, and I don't really know.
Circles.
A phenomenal question. So, what happens if you're eating these fish? That's a great, ooh, great question.
I don't think it's
you got a perch fresh off the river. I'm not a fisherman. I don't know what's in rivers. Just fucking imagine, okay?
I'd like to know what my family up at Lake Erie would, what their comment, what their response would be to that wholly inappropriate comment you just made about the perch in the river.
Perch are not in rivers. I'm perch a dumbass, in the river. Okay?
Yes.
That's why they call this idiots on a mic. This ain't professional anglers on a mic, okay?
True story. All right.
So, what do you, salmon? You catch a salmon fresh off a stream there. How's that? I know for a fact that is a stream fish.
Yes, yes.
We're good reeling job. This thing in. You get it. Flop it on board. It's looking a little suspect at best. Not very active, maybe. Just kind of really chilling out, bro. Whatever, no big deal. You slice and dice this thing, you make them some nice big fillets out of it, and then you eat this meth infested fish. That might pose for a pretty tricky situation.
Yeah, I wonder. And then you go in to work the next week and you get picked for the random test, and then like, what? It's like the poppy seed episode in Seinfeld. You know, then what? Then what do you do? And next thing you know, you're in trouble and you're losing your job because you had methy fish.
some methy fish. So
it was interesting, though. They said it was like the fish actually exhibited indications that they were addicted to it because, like, had like the runoff that had the meth in it was coming from one side of the river, and then the other side was more clear, and they preferred to stay in the side that had the meth water.
This water is good.
Dude, you gotta come over to my side of the river. It's got no good shit over here.
You been upstream? That's gonna be like a bar. They're like, hey, you been upstream? You check out upstream? You check out Murky Waters up there?
Murky? Look, it's the name of the bar. You've been up to the sandbar of it. Oh,
yeah. Oh, man. You swim through and they're just like, just floating on their back downstream.
It's so bad. So bad.
And then they just wake up and do that shit again, I guess.
Apparently. All right. Well, everybody, we'll just have to keep you. We will have to keep you updated, and as news comes out on this issue.
Yeah. Reports are coming in that the fish are in fact trying to sell their bodies for more of the methamphetamine water.
Yeah. All right. Good one. Where do you find these things? Where do you find this stuff? All right, what else do you want to talk about? There's some other good stuff.
Twitter is a wonderful land. So I'm going to tell you my process.
Okay.
Anybody could steal this process because anybody can create a podcast and do what we're doing. Like or follow a handful of topics on Twitter.
Okay.
And then just every day, every other day or so, just search and see what articles come up.
Thumbs up.
Yeah. And somehow this was in like science and Scientology and stuff like that. So, I mean.
You follow a Scientology, like a hashtag or something? Woo. Yeah, there's fodder there for sure. There's some shit to talk about, but. That also falls under the sci-fi realm, so it's not really that much of a jump. So I guess it all
makes sense. So this is the article I thought you may find interesting.
Yeah,
there was a shipwreck, a lost shipwreck. They said over 120 years ago, they found all these beer bottles, unopened beer bottles in this, and while the alcohol itself wasn't really feasible. Able to be utilized and mm-hmm. consumed, they extracted the yeast from the alcohol, and now they are finding whether it's new iterations and flavors of beers or whatever the case may be, and they're going to be producing. I'm out on 120 year old beers. No, no, thank you. No, like, thank you. I don't want to.
A little skunky.
I don't want whatever mead. Or shit that they were making back in the days that is probably just absolutely rancid. And this will be the new IPA trend. I fucking guarantee it. It's going to be some. Listen, I like lagers. I like Hefeweizens and everything like that. You go to any like local grocery store, you don't see that shit. What do you see? You see the light beers and stacks of IPAs. And those are your two choices.
Yes. I have a story about IPAs. So, and Lee, if you're still listening, this is, you'll hear this one. If you didn't know about this, this is what was happening in Ohio. So my husband, Chuck, is not an IPA fan either. Not at all. Big beer fan, no IPAs, no thank you. So his dad will come down from Catawba and visit, and he's always bringing some new beers to try. And so it's kind of their thing. Whenever Chuck and his dad get together, they're trying out some new beers and everything. And so they bring this mixed pack down. I think Grandpa brought it down here first, and they go through, he stays for like a long weekend, and they go through all the beer except for this one fucking bottle of IPA. And Grandpa leaves it here and goes home. All right. A couple weeks later, Chuck's like, I don't know. I got all this weird stuff in the fridge out here. And you know what? There's an IPA, whatever. And I don't drink that stuff. I'm going to take it up to Grandpa's house. So we go ahead and take it up to Grandpa's house. Fucking leave it there. About 3 weeks later, Grandpa comes down and visits again. Brings that same goddamn bottle of IPA back. Chuck's like, son of a bitch. And now it's a thing. It's like, neither one of them like IPA, and this bottle is so well traveled across the state of Ohio at this point. Like, it's got to be actually worth more money than it should be because of the miles on it. It's ridiculous.
I don't understand the appeal of IPAs. I really don't. And I'll make it a point. If I have friends that like IPAs, I will take a sip of whatever IPA they're drinking, knowing I'm not going to finish this thing.
Yeah.
Unless it's free. If it's free. Yeah. Yeah. IPAs are great. If it's free. Yeah, sure.
It's free. It's for me.
But I'll give one of these. Yeah. Hard. I knew that was going to be bad, but it made me taste it anyways. Cause it's unlike any other IPA you've ever had.
Yeah. Right. Cause they're all fabulous and new and exciting and craft, and you got a growler of it and the okay. Forget it. I'm out.
But
this one looks interesting. Yeah, so that like they're making new beers based on the yeast strains they found in this whole shipwreck, which I just, anytime they find anything cool in a shipwreck, I'm in. I always want to read that story.
Yeah, I just don't know. I don't know, like, some of the science behind what we do and what we're looking for is beyond me. Like, why did we waste time extracting the yeast from this 120-year-old beer? What was this going to tell us? Like, what newfound technology were we going to gain from this? Maybe just try one, it tastes really disgusting, and you throw the whole thing, or you sell them, whatever. Put them in a museum. Who gives a shit? Like,
maybe no. This is Superman's hobby. Maybe this is what George Clooney or The Rock. This is what they're doing for fun on the side.
I just imagine The Rock's like, "Yeah, I put that shit in my tequila."
I know, he's so much more badass than like everybody, right? He's awesome.
He really is. It's, I mean, this bottle alone is really cool. I would buy the bottle. Yeah, that would be a fantastic piece to have.
Yeah.
But what's in the bottle? No, I'll scrub that shit 12 times over before I actually drink out of this thing. There's no way. Absolutely disgusting. This bottle will probably turn back to sand in your hand if you hold it for too long.
And you know what? The caption on that said, when opened, the beer inside the bottles found on the Wallachia had a far from appetizing odour. How fancy are these people? It's not an odor. It's an odour. O-D-O-U-R. I'm like, woo! Some fancy shit.
Yeah, you're IPA drinkers for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. The odour.
The odour. I think when I think their pinky was up when they said that too. It's like, yeah, when they hold it.
Yeah. And their little curled handlebar mustache thing going on. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Quite the odour.
That's pretty cool, though. I love shipwrecks and all that stuff. I mean, underwater and like even those movies like that, I absolutely love.
I do, too. I love the mystery behind it. I think all of that is all well and good. And like, oh, what was this? So we did an iteration of Unsolved Mysteries on the show one time.
Ooh.
And one of the mysteries I actually had was the Mary Celeste was the name of the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And it was found just kind of sporadically floating
out in New England, right? Yeah.
Yeah, this was hundreds of years ago, I think. Yeah, couple I've hundred heard years of this ago, maybe. Story, yeah. And so this other ship boards it. They find nobody there, but it's like all of their clothes were like folded up neatly and everything. And it was like they intentionally left. The life raft was gone, but there was like nobody in sight and all this stuff. And they were never found. The people were never found. They brought the ship in. And I believe it was actually hauling alcohol. It was maybe. Who knows?
Oh, come on. What's your theory? Well, you must have solved this on the show, clearly.
Oh, no. Here's what I think. They drank old beer and died. That's probably what may have happened.
They drank old, yeasty, stinky beer and they died. They jumped overboard.
With a foul odour. No, my theory is, so the people who boarded the ship, they ended up bringing the ship in because maritime law, I guess, mm-hmm. if you find an abandoned ship, you can take it in and basically get your money's worth for bringing it in. Yeah. And I don't think that was the case. I think they were pirated and killed by whoever actually brought it in. And I think they're in the bottom of the ocean. They said, oh yeah, we never found the life raft. Their stuff's still here. Wow, what a mystery.
Oh. Yeah, that's interesting. I never thought about that, but yeah, why not? I mean, but there's no, like, they must have taken them onto their own ship and killed them because there were no signs on the main ship, right?
Yeah, there was, like, no signs of struggle or anything. Unless, so there was water in the ship. There was water in the ship, but not a substantial amount to where, like, a ship of that size would have been concerned.
Yeah.
But maybe they had somebody go in there, drill a hole in the bottom of their boat. Hey, you guys look a little below what your normal level should be. Why don't you hop aboard? We'll get you guys back home all free and easy. They go down. They're like, oh, man, there's 3 feet of water in here. That guy was right. They hop on to the said pirate ship, the Black Pearl or whatever Jack Sparrow's driving these days. And next thing you know, they get axed and tossed.
That's That's a long string of, yeah, okay, sure.
That's one theory. That's one theory.
Sure, yeah. You work on that. I'll read the book when you put it out, but we'll see.
speaking of, I don't know why this just popped in my head when you said that. So, Halloween season, House on Haunting Hill came out a few years ago. Did you ever get a chance to watch it on Netflix?
But is this the, House on Haunted Hill? The Haunting of Hill House.
Haunting of Hill House. Yes.
Yes.
Sorry.
So good. Phenomenal. So good. I love all of that entire genre. Yeah, that was a good show. Did they do a second season?
Haunting of Bly Manor. It was a completely different cast, completely different.
Yeah, I didn't dig that one as much. It wasn't as.
I didn't either.
It wasn't as freaky. It wasn't. It didn't scare you as much, though. It was still a pretty good story. I mean, I'd watch the third season. But The Haunting of Hill House was good. It was really good.
It was fantastic. And to think, like, the oldest brother thought that, oh, it was just all these blah, blah, blah. It's just stories. And he's making money off the books and everything. And his dad's like, no, he's like, we never hired people to help us, like, fix the house. Like, you saw ghosts the entire time.
Yeah, I liked, like, it.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anything about it next season, though. I know a lot of stuff's been behind because of the pandemic and stuff. A lot of stuff didn't film like, you know, you would have hoped. Although it's starting to pick up. There's something on Paramount called Evil. Just Evil. And it's about, it's a psychologist and a priest in training and then just a regular guy. And they get called in to sort of either prove or disprove like possessions and demonic activity. And so like the two people are always like, you know, the psychologist and the average guy, they're usually able to find an explanation for everything they find. But there's some pretty interesting stuff. So every episode is a different situation. And then there's this other character, this Leland character, who he's the, like the bad guy from Lost. Did you ever watch that? Where everybody was on the island?
Yeah, I started to watch it. Is it the older guy, or is that like, am I like way
older,
too early?
Older, shorter guy. Where you just kind of, you just never know. You always know he's not telling you the whole truth, and there's something a little like wrong and sneaky about him. Well, he plays the actual demon character in this show, and just the way they interact, like, and it's a modern setting, and it's just interesting about how you can kind of get away with trying to explain certain things in certain ways. And it's kind of, it's interesting. And they just came out with their second season, which I thought was fun. Cause again, a lot of stuff's been delayed. So I was happy to see that. But Evil.
Are you for or against all the streaming services? Like there's too many branches now, no?
They are all over the place. Like we did get rid of DirecTV and ended up going with just YouTube TV, which works great. You can still get your local channels and all that stuff. But then we still have HBO Max and Netflix and Amazon Prime. And now there was something I just had to have on Paramount Plus and Paramount Plus. It's like, honestly, it's like we watch a movie or not a movie, but like some kind of show. My husband and I watch every night before bed, but that's really the only TV we get. That's it. So it's like, why the hell do we have so many streaming services? And we have a theater room in our house. It's like, you think that we spend all this time just eating popcorn and watching TV and we don't. It's weird. We should.
And that's the thing too, is like, especially I don't do auto renewals on stuff. Like if certain ones, like HBO Max and things like that. But the one that gets me is I always forget, and I'm a huge baseball guy, but I don't watch enough games to justify it, is I get MLB.TV every year.
Yeah.
And it's like $120 for the full year. And which, I mean, when you break it down, $10 a month, it's not the worst thing in the world. I maybe watch collectively like 10 to 20 games a year. And I'm like, well, shit, that did not seem to be worth
like 5 hours a piece.
It's a good background. So this is how I spend. This is how I typically end up watching baseball, doing editing for the podcast or something, and then it's just up on the screen above me because an hour can go by and nothing may have changed, and I can look up and I go, okay, it's still a 1-1 game or something.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, never been a big baseball fan. I like to see some live, you know, sports when you can go. I like the atmosphere, but I'm not.
Yeah,
I know. This is why we're talking about movies and not sports. So,
fair enough. Fair enough. All right. So, we're going to wrap it up here. I have one more movie quote that I want to see if you can get. I don't know. You didn't do as well as I thought you were going to do earlier.
You know what? I come with trivia next time for you.
So, what other questions do you have for me before I ask you this final quote?
Number one, do you do any impressions? And I think we can see not very well.
I have, you got Owen Wilson's. Wow.
That's actually not bad.
Wow.
Wow. That's not bad. That's not, what else? What else? Or is that?
Morty from Rick and Morty. Occasionally, I haven't done it in a while, so it's kind of hit or miss. A phenomenal Scooby-Doo, actually.
Those are timeless.
The one I haven't gotten around to working on, and this is I'd actually asked the audience. Papa Steel came back with the original Captain Kirk, so William Shatner.
Yes.
Captain Kirk. Yes. That one might take some time. There doesn't seem to be
very specific.
Doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason to where his punctuation is throughout his sentences. Because sometimes
English teacher's nightmare.
So that much I think I have is like the cadence of the whole thing. I think I have that figured out, but the voice is I love trying to do impressions. I'm not good at them. I enjoy watching people who can do impressions. Like Tom Hiddleston does really good impressions.
Yeah. I've seen him. What is it on
Jim
the ground?
Carrey.
Oh yeah,
Graham Norton.
The Graham Norton show. Like he gets people to do the craziest stuff on his show. I never catch it live, but yeah, that's. I think is where I've seen like Tom Hiddleston and some of the other guys doing impressions of other members of the cast, which I like that. But that whole punctuation thing. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
He does like a Chris Evans impression. He did a Graham Norton impression, which was spot on.
Really?
Robert De Niro. Why can't I think of his name? That's going to really
drink in that show.
The real reason.
All the good ones you can, right? Cheers.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Thank you.
Sure, of course. But the punctuation, it reminds me of Christopher Walken, too. Like, you never know where his sentences start and stop either.
Yeah, you don't. There's just like a long pause, and you're like, was that it? And then it'll just go for another string of like.
Yeah.
That's what I like. That's what I enjoy about TikTok is the people who do impressions on TikTok, because they'll get suggestions like, all right, do Vince Vaughn in this scenario or do Matthew McConaughey. The one that I love is there's a guy that does Matthew McConaughey impressions, but he does it like, oh, do Matthew McConaughey if he auditioned for Thanos or something like that.
That's challenging. Wow.
And they're incredible. I'll have to see if I can save some of the videos onto my laptop so we can pull them up. And kudos to the guy who actually does the impressions. But it's the dumbest. Like, I'll just go down a rabbit hole for like hours just watching people do impressions. And it's a terrible way to spend my time, though.
Well, you know, even if they're bad, sometimes they're still entertaining. I remember this was a long time ago, pre-kids, my husband and I, we were out west, and we had gotten into Jimmy Buffett concerts just because of the out. We hadn't really done a lot of outdoor concerts, and you go and it's this whole thing. People are, a lot of people don't even go into the show because they're partying so hard in the parking lot, you know, that people bring in like a whole truckload of sand and pop up their tiki thing right in the back of their truck. It's like, this is the greatest thing ever. So we did several of those, and we took with us 1 year, a whole group of people. I had this huge expedition, and so we crammed it full of people and went to a Parrothead concert. And our friend Amy, her husband is Australian. And on the way back, you know, clearly we'd had enough booze that just about everything was funny at this point. And he has what he Australian, super thick Australian accent. And he said, have you ever heard my Elvis impression? Like, no, but it sounds great. Let's do it. He's like, we died. It was the greatest thing ever. Oh, and we talked about it for a year and it was just terrible. So even the bad ones.
Oh, yeah. There's entertainment value in any impression, because that's just it. Either it's really good and you're like, wow, that's incredible, or it's so far off base
like that
it's just humorous. And you're like, oh, that's supposed to be, that's Elvis. Yeah, I can hear it now.
I mean, honestly, anything in an Australian accent is worth listening to. You're like, uh-huh, do that again. That's great. Yeah. Repeat. Play it again.
Yeah. Play the hits. Let's do this again.
All right. Well, the rest of the questions will wait. I had an idea for playing the Never Have I Ever game. I think that would be a good time. But we can save some of this good stuff for the marathon podcast. I'm super excited about that. I love what you guys are doing there. And Kathy, your mom, your mom. Yeah, I did not expect her to come into this so hard, and I absolutely love it. Kathy, we're going to be best friends, and you don't even know it.
All right, let's finish this off. My last quote, my movie quote for you. This should be a walk in the park. Pretty obvious one, I think. All right. Now I know I'm going to butch the the impression.
Let's do it.
All right. This is just going to be me reading it off, because I don't think I have an impression, even a basis for an impression of this one. If I ever decide to become a crime fighting shit swizzle who rooms with a bunch of other little whiners at Neverland Mansion, who's some creepy old bald Heaven's Gate looking motherfucker, on that day, I'll send your happy shiny ass a friend request.
I have no idea. Oh,
yes,
my God.
You do.
No. Oh, my God. Is that from Brothers? No. Oh, God. I think we're going to have to hear it again. I think we're going to have to hear it one more time.
This is real comedic for you, isn't it? If I ever decide to become a crime-fighting shit swizzle who rooms with a bunch of other little whiners at Neverland Mansion with some creepy, old, bald, Heaven's Gate-looking motherfucker, on that day, I'll send your shiny, happy ass a friend request.
That is Deadpool. I just wanted to hear you say it again. That's got to be from Deadpool.
I do not have a Ryan Reynolds impression. That is from Deadpool, yes.
I love him. I love his sense of humor. I love all of it. And I know that movie was so raw for so many people, but I couldn't get enough of it. Loved it.
I enjoyed it so much. And that's the thing is, like, I'm the same way. I really like Ryan Reynolds' sense of humor, but he has made some dog shit movies. Sadly, he has made some bad movies.
Yeah.
I think we're on the up and up with being a part of the Marvel franchise now, and hopefully hopefully he can take his career in the right. I mean, he did like what National Lampoon and Waiting and movies like that. But
Waiting was funny. I mean, it makes you never want to eat at a restaurant ever again in your life.
Absolutely not. No.
Yeah, there's just no way. And think about the cast now, like Dane Cook at the time. Oh, yeah. My goodness. These guys were just out of this world. They're so funny. But yeah, you just don't want to ever eat at a restaurant. Did you ever see Six Underground? Was that worthwhile? That was him in more of an action.
Which was great, though, because it was still his comedic value in that movie, even though it was more serious.
Yeah. What about the Bodyguard? Okay. He did something like the
that's a good one with Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah.
And he's in the newest iteration of that is the Bodyguard's wife's or the hitman's wife's bodyguard.
Okay.
Is supposed to be coming out soon, I believe. So those ones I think are pretty good. And he's done a couple like The Proposal was pretty funny.
That's pretty funny. I mean, it's got Betty White in it. Honestly, yeah. I mean, I'd like her to be president. Immortal. She is amazing. I want to be Betty White. I mean, her SNL stint that she did a few years ago, just killer. I mean, and she was probably like 88 at the time or some nonsense, you know?
Her on the roasts are incredible. Like when she's part of the Comedy Central roasts.
She is badass. Phenomenal. Big, the giant dusty Muffet. Fucking love it. I was a Golden Girls fan from back in the day because those old broads, you know, back before you could get really anything that salty on TV, that was some funny, shady shit. I liked it. But yeah, I like me some Betty White. I like it. I'll take it. All right. Well, Matt, thank you. I appreciate that. This has been a good time.
Glad you could be a part of it. We'll definitely have you on again. We'll have to get you on when Rod's on as well. Cause just when there's what I have found, the more the merrier on stuff like this, and just the flow of ideas is so different for each person when you get them all in one space and talk about certain things. Like Lord knows what would come out of his mouth with the meth addicted fish.
Worse than me.
Well, get Rick on, aka Sexual Chocolate.
Yeah, I challenge him. I got some trivia for him.
Ooh.
Bust his chops a little bit. It's not. Ooh. Yeah.
But can't thank you enough for taking the time out of your day to be on the show. Couple things we like to do at the end of the show. One, if there's anybody you would like to shout out at this point in time, you could do so now.
Absolutely. I noticed my sister-in-law Lee up in Catawba, the illustrious Catawba Island, Ohio. Thank you for listening. And then, although I think she's actually down in Columbus right now. But anyway, thank you for listening. And my mom, Betsy, out in Arizona. Thank you for tuning in. I appreciate it. Kathy, Mike, the whole Steel family. Love you guys. Can't wait for the wedding. Mike, I miss you, buddy. We had a not to go into too much of another story, but you know what? We'll talk about it the next. We're going to drink next time. And I want to be on with your dad sometime. Because we have a good time too.
I'm trying to get him on. He doesn't want to be a part of it. He's the content driver for the show at times. I've always got a story about what Papa Steel did, you know, someday or another. However, I just don't think he wants to get his sourpuss in front of a camera.
He does have a terrible case of RBF, but you know what? We all know that, and that's okay. That could add to the comedy.
Yeah. Real dry set. Just real. What the fuck? Are you smiling, dude? You'd never know.
I'll get him to laugh. All right, Mike. It's a challenge.
The other thing we like to do at the end of every episode, you don't have a can, but you do have a glass. We always like to give a nice final send-off to everyone. Thank you, everybody who listened. Thank you, everybody who continues to listen. And as always, to end the show, cheers.
Cheers. All right, thank you.